hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Let's get to work. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to look at the story of God of the Sunlies. Genesis chapter 22, five books of Moses, Genesis, what's the next one? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, other known as the Torah or the Mosaic Law. Genesis 22, this is the iconic story of Abraham, not Abram. This is after the fact, Abraham. So if you have your Bibles, 22 verse 119. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son. If you have your highlighters in your Bibles, you want to highlight that. You notice it? Not just take your son, he also adds that. Your only son, it'll come back later to haunt us. Whom you love, Isaac, or Isaac if you're using the Hebraic. And go to the mountain, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we will come back to you. That's a highlight one there as well. Notice he almost prophetically says to his servants that he's going to come back. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up to his and said to his father, hey, father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Pause. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar and top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven. He said, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that, here's the thing, you fear God because you have not withheld me, your son, what? Your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught in its by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, third time, right? Your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, as he had prophesied before, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Context plus content equals meaning. The very, very old Abraham and Sarah. We're talking, by the time Isaac comes around, they're centurions. They're into their hundreds. And this was a huge issue for Sarah. Well, for both of them. They wanted descendants. They wanted offspring. You heard about the story where, like, Sarah almost started laughing when she was told that she was going to get pregnant. at 100 some years old. That would make any person laugh, going, I'm going to have a child at 100 years old. But this was the cry of their heart. They had put all their energies, and I have met families. I've heard their stories of families that have tried multiple times trying to have a child, didn't work out. They do hormonal replacement. They do in vitro. They do IVF. They do all these things. And then it's almost to the point of like desperation. They just want to have their own child. I can understand that with Abraham and Sarah. Then the angel says, you're going to have a child. Sarah just starts laughing. You're like, are you drunk? Like, are you serious? Look how old I am. And she does. She gets pregnant, and they have a son. They call him, and Abraham is obedient because he's told to name him Isaac. Here's a quick tidbit. What seemed to be impossible for man is what? Possible with God. And it's the miracle power of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe in miracles this morning? Yes. I do, because it is contextual. It has happened in the Bible. It's not just, left in antiquity. This is happening right now. We're seeing healings today. The Holy Spirit is moving in our midst all the time. I believe in miracles. So Abraham and Sarah, they have doted upon their, quote, golden child. They loved Isaac, and they made sure that Isaac had everything that he needed. Now, was there an issue of worship here? Was their child becoming more important than Yahweh? Can we have good things become idols in our life? I remember this one time. My family got flown to Kodiak Island in Alaska. If you look, try to find it on Google, it's just this little island off the west coast of Homer. It's where all the Coast Guard, the National Coast Guard, are stationed. So we were asked to come and preach the call at an American Baptist church in Kodiak Island. So we packed up our family and we flew to Kodiak. As I was walking around Kodiak and getting introduced to people, I met a man, and he started to talk about his service at the food bank. I said, oh, so how's it going? He was like, well, I'm on a break right now. I said, oh, why is that? He goes, well, I was serving at the food bank almost every single day. Well, I was serving every single day for hours on end. And I said, and initially I'm like, well, that's a great thing. But it got to the point where his service at the food bank was starting to encroach and take away from his time at the church, his time in his relationship with his family. It became such a good thing, but it started to become toxic. It started to tear him away from a relationship with Jesus. So when I met him, I said, what are you doing right now? I was like, I'm taking a break with Jesus. I need to come back to the heart of why I went to the food bank in the first place. I really wanted to love people like Jesus loved people. But I got to the point where this thing, I started not liking coming here. I started to judge people because I'd see people spend all their money at the bar and then come to the food bank the next day because this is a very small town. And I would be judgmental. And I'd almost not want to serve them. I says, so he had to take a break. God's tested Abraham. My first thing I want to talk about is this word lugging. You remember lug? To lug something up a mountain. Lugging is something that's cumbersome. I was going to bring all my gear up on the stage. I was going to bring all my backpacks. And I remember one time when we were on outreach, we had all of our gear, and we told our team, do not bring square suitcases because you cannot put them on. You can't carry those into villages. So I remember having our team, and it was just this huge line of backpacks. Abraham was a man of faith. And he believed in Yahweh so much that he even told his servants, I'm going to come back. But then look at this scripture this morning. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. Let's look at this scripture. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God has said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. This is the ultimate display of faith. No matter what would happen, some way Abraham's going to be back with his son. Some form of another. Do we have that same risk-taking faith? The reason why I talked about lugging up the mountain is, can you imagine for 3 days, as a father, I can't, you're walking with your son. He's carrying the instruments for sacrifice, and you're walking for 3 days. You had walked, made camp, had dinner, slept. The next morning, the same reality. I'm still going to this mountain to do this sacrifice that God has asked me to do. And for 3 days, lugging all that equipment to sacrifice the very son that he had been praying for and yearning for with his wife for years. This is what God, you're asking me to do. Do we trust God with our children? Do we trust God with our spouses and our partners and our family members? This is a perfect example. Abraham had faith. He had trust. This reminds me of another family. Jim and Elizabeth Elliott were missionaries to the Aka Indians in Ecuador. Jim was martyred alongside 4 other missionaries during Operation Aka in January 8, 1956. Jim had, and these other missionaries had believed God that they were supposed to go to Ecuador and minister to this tribe, the Aka tribe. And they believed that they had faith that they would reach them for Jesus. And they get there, because back in 1956, just to get to Ecuador, to get to that tribe, it would have taken days, if not a week, to get there. And very shortly, him and his companions are killed for their faith. You would think that's the end of the story. So if you know the story, don't spoil it. You would think, like, his wife would be like, Elizabeth would be like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. I'm not gonna go to church anymore. I'm definitely not gonna go and do missions anymore. I want to play it safe. No. After her husband's death, Elizabeth went to go and live among the tribe that killed her husband, and with her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Elizabeth Elliott has written several books that have inspired thousands of people in their walk with God. She recently passed away, 2015, but Jim and Elizabeth Elliott's story continues to make that impact for us today, and how we spark passion, how it sparks a risk-taking faith. She didn't know that that was going to be what would happen to her husband. She was thinking, you know, my husband's going to go do a missions trip to Ecuador. What's the worst that can happen? The worst happened. He died. The news hit back, and that could have derailed her from faith, derailed her from church. But she had faith in God, going, I think the most risk-taking thing I need to do is I'm going to go back to the very people that killed my husband and continue to finish off the mission. And she does. Abraham and his son are walking to the mountain, lugging up. Imagine lugging all the gear and supplies for 3 days. Abraham and his faith is still wrestling internally with this hike, asking questions like this. Imagine if you're him. Why him, Lord? Why Isaac? Why now? Why so far? Why are we doing this? These are just a few of the heartfelt questions. And if you're not a father this morning, imagine these are the questions that you're speaking to God. Because God is, God. When we speak, when we're praying to God, this is how our prayer life should be. I don't believe that Abraham's like, oh, we beseech you, Heavenly Father. Like, he's not doing that.
in his heart, because he can't speak in front of Isaac, right? You don't hear that. He's not having any kind of conversations with him. It's the most quietest hike in the world. But internally, he's raging. So why are we doing this, Lord? Maybe your questions are the same thing. Why my child? Why can't it work? Why now? Why can't I get work? Why did I lose my job? Why is my grandmother sick? Why cancer? What does 6 months to live look like? Why does it hurt so much? Then, boom, suddenly, right? That's what suddenly is, all of a sudden. In the midst of his screensaver mode of all those questions, because that's what happens. You get in a daze, right? We get in a daze, we're like, and it's like a hamster wheel. Why? And then all of a sudden, God breaks through, doesn't he? And suddenly God provides, you know that term, 11th hour? It comes from the Gospels, right? It's like at the 11th hour. Verse 12, I love this. He says, I know your heart, and I know that you would be able to give up the only thing that makes sense of your family and your marriage, your only son. Three times God says, your only son. The 11th hour, this absolute last moment where something can be done, will get done. Here we see God move in the 11th hour on behalf of Abraham. And I have a pillow in my office on it. It says, where there seems to be no way, there is Yahweh. Where there seems to be no way, there is Yahweh. And in that moment, Yahweh, God, in all of his glory, in all of his, and I love what he said, immutability and everything that is changing around the world, God doesn't change. His immutability steps into creation. He says, I'm going to provide right here and right now. Just as that moment, as Abraham's about to do what he's being called to do, he's obeying what God says, Abraham! I don't believe it's like, you know, oh, by the way, Abraham. No. It's literally at the opening of heaven and the word, your name is spoken like at the highest decibel range, twice. I would be believing that everyone around them would have been deafened. Abraham! That's a sudden thing. That's a sudden movement. That's a sudden moment. The God of the suddenlies, God suddenly intervened and saves Isaac and provides a ram. He provides exactly what is needed. It's a suitable sacrifice. Notice that God doesn't give Abraham, says, Abraham, I provided a loaf of bread. What? Oh, here's a couple of bag of stones. He provides exactly what is required, a ram. God doesn't provide a flamingo. He's so keenly aware of what the situation needs. So if you're praying for a ram, stop praying for flamingos. Don't settle for flamingos. Say, God, I need a ram. I need a suitable intervention. I need something in the 11th hour. I need Christmas gifts for my family. One year, we had no money. Crystal and I, like, we were looking, forecasting. We're like, it's like getting November. We're like, we have no money. Planning a church, you don't make a lot of money. So we're like, we have no money. So I wasn't going to be like going, oh, Lord, we'll just make cards. No, I said, God, I want to give good gifts to my kids. So help me, Lord. Bring in the money, bring in whatever. But I'm wanting rams. I need rams, Lord. Don't give me flamingos. Don't give me like, well, we'll give you a box of tomatoes. That's not a gift for my kid. My kid needs Legos, not boxes of tomatoes. But sometimes how he gives it to you is different, isn't it? Because I thought, oh, just give me money and I'll just go to the store. No. Here's the process. So all of a sudden, we just started selling some stuff online. We started selling some furniture and sell the whatever was books and CDs and all kinds of stuff. We started purging, just normal purging. at the end of our little purge, after selling all of our excess baby stuff, guess what? In the 11th hour, we had enough for our kids. God had provided a ram. In the 11th hour, I remember it was like the week before Christmas, and we're like, okay, we need to go to Toys R Us, and we need to go buy these gifts. And we looked at our little fund that Crystal had accumulated from selling stuff, and it was just enough. But that's a risk-taking faith. How about you? What's your ram this morning? What are you praying for? Are you trusting God for that provision? What does your ram look like? Have you trusted God to the 11th hour? Maybe you're at 10:30 and you're like, I don't want the 11th hour. Can I just put it on credit card? Can I just do what I need to do? If I could be your pastor for a second, I'll say, no. Because your faith is getting stretched like an elastic band, isn't it? And that 11th hour, when you get to that, your faith just expands and expands. You're like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. But you have to go through it. This is the tough part. Have you entrusted your ram or your need for provision with other people? Too many times I've had people come up to me going, oh, I needed this last month. And I'm like, well, how many people knew about this? Or how many people did you ask for prayer? Well, nobody. You need to make your known. You make your needs known. Like, we have an amazing community here. Then I find out a week later that someone had in the congregation an extra car, an extra bike, an extra whatever it was, set of golf clubs, whatever it is. And I could have had you made your needs known. This is what we were saying too. Stu was saying, we're a family that prays. And today we're a family that eats together. But make your needs known. Let your ram be known. And lastly, God is in the details. Now it says, and a lot of people say that devil's in the details, but no, not in this case. Abraham calls out to that God, and this he says that God is the provider, the Jehovah Jireh. But actually, in the Hebrew text, he says that God is the God that will see to it all. In other words, he's going to finish all the pieces. Imagine this whole situation as being like a 1,000-piece puzzle. God not only provides all the pieces, but he puts them all together. God will bring another sacrifice. But here is the gospel. He also provided another sacrifice for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. If you guys look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And lastly, Hebrews 9:26-28. Otherwise, Christ would have had suffered many times since the creation of the world, but he has appeared once for all at the time of culmination of the ages to do away with what? Sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So God, just like bringing the ram for Abraham, God has brought a lamb to this world. And if you're sitting here this morning going, but I have sin, Pastor, I have a heart problem and it's sin. Sin has caused a chasm or a distance from me and my relationship with God. God is saying there's one sacrifice that's needed now, and it's Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that we can do to earn this. It is an absolute free thing. In the 11th hour, God supplies the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, for us. And it's a free gift. And we can't sacrifice a single thing. And we've tried to put all those things on that altar. be it children, job, fame, security, status. But that, it still doesn't add up. We're going to continue to do our own sacrifices, but then God brings Jesus. So my challenge for you this morning is this. What are you lugging through the wilderness and up that mountain this morning? What kind of anxieties are you needing to release to God this morning? Number two, what do you need to trust God with this morning? What are you lying down at the altar? And number three, do you need a suddenly this morning? Do you need a suddenly right now to come down right in front of you to take care of whatever that situation is? God is available right here, right now for that to happen. And while we're singing the next song, we're going to have people come down. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, a prayer for God to suddenly move and break through in whatever you're needing to lay down on the altar. Do you believe that this morning? Do you trust that God is the God of the 11th hour? Do you trust that He will provide? And do you need to trust in Jesus for the first time this morning as you've heard that God loves you and that He's provided the perfect lamb to be sacrificed once and for all for your sins?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.